What's going on, everybody? Baby Huey and Bimbo Jimbo here. And so, Jimbo, this is kind of a first for us. It's a wrestling-related review that we're doing right now. You and I, as we've said many times on the air, we're huge wrestling fans. And so you and I have been wanting for a long time now kind of launch. I guess this is kind of a big deal right now. Isn't this the kind of inaugural birth of like a wrestling podcast that you and I have been in talks of doing? Can we kind of put that label on this right now? Is that okay? Or
I mean, you know, we're it's in its infancy.
Exactly.
And we've been doing stuff for a long time, you know, often. I feel like this is not our first review. I feel like we've discussed things before wrestling wise outside of our interviews and
stuff.
And we've
done
like that.
Movie reviews as well.
Yeah. And like, no, but I mean in the wrestling realm.
Yeah.
But again, this is the start of the road to WrestleMania.
Absolutely.
Royal Rumble weekend. It's a lot of, I think for a lot of wrestling fans, it's their favorite show of the year because you see a lot of old faces, you see people coming up, getting more opportunity and stuff like that. So why not just jump right in and talk about it? I thought it was a great weekend. So
yeah.
I'm stoked to talk about it with you.
This is the Royal Rumble. So for anyone who's listening right now who might not be as hardcore wrestling fans as you and I, WWE is known for having what's called the Big Four, four major pay-per-views that are really like huge storylines that come to a head. They usually have all their top stars on the same show. A lot of legends come back and perform, a lot of surprises. And so as far as the brand new year, Royal Rumble is, as you just mentioned, the first one of the whole year, but also it starts officially the road to WrestleMania. So yeah, this past weekend was the Royal Rumble weekend, a weekend you and I have been looking forward to pretty much. I mean, even probably end of last year, once Survivor Series got done or was done back in November, we're like, okay, the next big pay-per-view for them is the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. I miss it being the Big Five because King of the Ring was my personal favorite of the majors, if you want to call it like the Grand Slams of, if you want to put it in sort of tennis or golf terms or sporting terminology. Mm-hmm. I loved King of the Ring. I wish King of the Ring was still what it used to be. Mm-hmm. I miss it. And apologies again to all the Bone listeners out there if you have to endure my sniffling and or clearing my throat. I've been hit hopefully with just a minor version of the plague that's been going around the Bay Area. So,
well, don't mind my voice too. Mine's a little scratchy right now too. Last night during the Rumble, I noticed my back of my throat was getting a little dry and like I was like, oh no, because I just kicked this thing like a week ago. And it's all of a sudden hitting me again. So yeah, Jimbo, this weekend was the Royal Rumble. It's a big deal just because, as we know, the Royal Rumble has a lot on the line as far as the winner of the Royal Rumble match gets a shot at the world title of their choosing now, which I was not sure about that going in. I thought it was whoever won, whatever brand that you're a part of, you get that automatic title shot for that respected brand.
In the past, they've done that, though, where it's like you get to choose. Like, yes. I mean, the famous moment with Batista and Triple H and you know, that you have gotten that decision. I'm glad they brought back the decision because it adds a little bit of intrigue, you know, because people will sleep on that, you know, and
just assume.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And, you know, let's say somebody that's not affiliated with the brand, like if an NXT call up were, say, to win the Rumble, like, well, which one are they going to be going for and stuff like that.
So let's just go ahead and start with the whole weekend. So things kicked off Saturday night. Here in the Bay Area for us as our time, we were watching the evening, was a NXT TakeOver. So anyone listening, NXT is, I guess you could say officially WWE's developmental territory or promotion.
I compared it to actually Ryan Covey of KNBR last night. He was asking about what is NXT TakeOver and stuff like that. So if you're not familiar, NXT, I wouldn't call it minor league. And this is how I explained it to Ryan Covey, is it's like college football versus NFL.
Okay.
And both have fans, you know, like some people out there are just college football fans. Mm-hmm. And I think some people out there just like NXT or enjoy NXT more than even WWE. It is their developmental brand, but it is a brand that has been so wildly successful that it's become more than even they anticipated.
Oh, absolutely.
And they have devotees just to NXT. And so it is, again, it's a little different style. It's a little different storytelling. I think it's a little older school. It's a different vibe.
It has like even more of that like indie feel.
It has an indie feel. I mean, they bring in guys off the indie, so they're still sort of learning the WWE playbook. The way I look at NXT is it's simpler. It's 1 hour is the program every mm-hmm. week. And you get much more straightforward storytelling, which on a lot of levels I appreciate. I feel like there's more of a, which is unlike the indies, there is more of a sort of character development deal mm-hmm. too, more gimmicks.
Backstage,
stuff like that.
Promos,
yeah,
interviews.
Yeah, so it's very old school vibe yeah. to me.
Mm. So this weekend was NXT TakeOver in Philadelphia. So NXT TakeOver, that name alone, it's kind of NXT's official name for like, their big pay-per-views, and those usually occur the same weekend as one of the big four pay-per-views I was referring to yep. earlier, which just to summarize, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series. Jimbo and his heart back in the day, the fifth one was King of the Ring.
Going out for King of the Ring.
But I think kind of more current time, the fifth one is now kind of been Money in the Bank recently, right? Is
yeah,
that kind
that's,
of been...
that's an interesting point. You could make that yeah. case for sure.
So NXT TakeOver.
I preferred Money in the Bank just being a match at WrestleMania personally. But
yeah, I missed that too. So this Saturday was TakeOver in Philadelphia. And so going into this, they had five matches lined up. So I guess, Jimbo, we can go down the line, kind of recap all the matches, but initially just your initial overall thoughts of the pay-per-view.
So sort of the theme, whenever there's a major, it's kind of like a Shawn Michaels-esque, can you follow that kind of thing from NXT, I feel like, on the takeovers. And I feel like they did it again. They put on overall a really, really fantastic show. Mm-hmm. The main event, early match of the year, contender with Andrade Cien Almas defending his title against Johnny Gargano. Mm-hmm. Aleister Black and Adam Cole in the Extreme Rules match was excellent as well.
Adam Cole, baby!
Couldn't say it better myself. and then you got Ember Moon and Shayna Baszler, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm huge on Velveteen Dream, so I was very interested in his match with Cassius Ohno. And then we had Undisputed Era, the tag team champions Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly taking on the Authors of Pain, who I think they are soon to come up to the main roster. Yeah.
So for me, watching this, I was watching with my brother Tommy, and him and I were just both just very engaged the whole time. I mean, just to NXT's credit, from the matches scheduled, but just the performance from all the wrestlers that night, it was just a very fun show, and the crowd was super into it. And so kudos to the NXT universe, if you want to call them that. They just delivered on all aspects of it. So first match of the night was the tag team, Undisputed Era versus the Authors of Pain. Undisputed Era, which is Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. Those guys are the current NXT tag team champs. And so for me, it was kind of exciting to see like two big dudes, which are Authors of Pain, versus Undisputed Era, which are the more smaller, athletic, that they have that indie look, I guess you want to call it that. So it's definitely two different styles clashing.
Yeah, I remarked on this while I was watching it. I thought that they could have been doing the Authors of Pain a disservice mm-hmm. in this match because of the fact that the Authors of Pain have been so protected and they are so big and powerful looking. It almost didn't look believable.
Yeah.
And I never say that about like a small guy going up against a big guy. I mean, I'm a Rey Mysterio fan and all that stuff. There's ways of doing it where it is believable. But going into this tag match, I think it's harder in a tag format
okay.
sort of to have like a double David versus Goliath storyline, especially when your Davids are heels, you know, and with the Undisputed Era and stuff yeah. like that. So I thought that was almost setting up possibly for doing Authors Pain not right, not doing mm-hmm. right by them. But I give them credit.
Yeah.
They worked a very smart match. The psychology was good. You know, they were working at, the knee mm-hmm. of Akam or Razor, I forget which one, and stuff like that. So they overcame that, and they definitely made the Authors of Pain feel as powerful. I don't think mm-hmm. they lost anything in ultimately taking the defeat there and everything yeah. like that. And it kept the belts on the Undisputed Era. And again, I think the Authors of Pain are probably coming up. They are really impressive. Like, they came into NXT, they were very raw, mm-hmm. but very imposing physically. And they've just really continued to develop. And now that I think they're a well-rounded product. And Paul Ellering is their manager.
I was going to say, good managing.
Paul Tonelli,
yes,
as he looks like.
By the way, that's what I say. People, if you want to look up Paul Ellering, I think he looks just like Tonelli. I think Tonelli, that should be his next Halloween costume.
You could be one of the authors of Pain.
Me and you.
I'm a little small. I'm more like, I'm not author of Pain size. I'm like sticky note of Pain.
Like, well, you have to wear some big boots, like
Frankenstein
boots.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe
boots.
You and Lamont could be the authors of Pain. And,
we got masks on, take them out.
I'll be Shawn Michaels.
Of course. Kurt Shawn Michaels, just grow your beard out.
Yeah. But no, that would be great.
But so that's the thing. So Undisputed Era end up defeating Authors of Pain. And so now the rumor is Authors of Pain are now going to get called up to the main roster. Just curious, which one out of the two brands do you think they should go to, Raw or SmackDown Live?
Honestly, either one. My gut feeling is they'll go to Raw. You know, it'd be interesting if they ever healed Roman and they wanted to put the Authors of Pain with Roman. That would be pretty sick.
That would be cool. Because
they have a similar look. I mean, they have a similar ring attire and stuff like that.
Are they Samoan too?
I'm not sure
what nationality they are. Okay,
but just it would be sort of almost like a redo of the Shield, only more evil, more bruising. I mean, the Shield had their run when they were bad guys too, but it would be a very different sort of vibe with that. And you could almost have Seth and Dean recruit like a third guy. I don't know, maybe a Kurt Angle to then go against him.
Jason Jordan.
God, no.
So, but here's the thing. So it looks like Authors of Pain are going to get promoted upward to one of the main shows, and rightfully so, because we saw in the crowd that night, War Machine, the new tag team hires, which is another big tag team. So it looks like they move one big guys for a tag team up, and then War Machine is the next one coming. They kind of filled that gap. And so, it was still a great match. So it was definitely big guys versus small guys, but it was very entertaining. And I think a lot of people it was probably second best match of the night, just a lot of the reviews I was reading for it. Then we jump ahead. Next match was Velveteen Dream versus Cassius Ohno. Did I say it right?
Cassius,
sorry.
Like Clay.
Sorry, my nose is plugged. Clay. Cassius Clay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali.
Yeah. It's just like that, only with a K.
Cassius. So Cassius Ohno, which that match, I mean, you and I have been fans of Velveteen Dream for a while now. He's definitely
Patrick from Tough Enough.
Yes.
I love the Velveteen Dream gimmick. I think it's so good. And I just, for him to take to it like he has, you know, if you watch him on Tough Enough, you know, mm-hmm. he's this very sort of straight-laced, just all-American Patrick Clark kind of dude.
Yes, yeah.
And I think it's a great gimmick. It's like a fusion of, like, I don't know, Jimi Hendrix and Prince. And Goldust.
Yes,
And I think it's working for him. I think he's found a gimmick that he is really taken to. I loved his entrance, the whole custom mouth guard thing, which I thought was going to come into play in the match. Like, I was thinking maybe like, you know, you could double the power of the punch with it or something like that. Maybe it's like a weighted mouth guard.
But keep in mind, because Weapon earlier in the night in his promo interview, he said he guarantees a knockout Ohno in 30 seconds, which the crowd was counting down. And as soon as they hit like 29, he throws a punch and lands.
Yeah,
and
I loved his ring attire, too. He came out there like Apollo Creed-esque and stuff. Like He really is taken to that gimmick so well.
Yeah.
I would love to see him get called up to the main roster and then circle back to the aborted Goldust storyline that they did, and that Goldust was going to sort of he was sort of teasing a new protege kind of deal. Oh. I would love it if it was Velveteen Dream. I don't think he needs it, but it would be cool.
Interesting.
And he did, in fact, defeat Cassius Ohno. So I was happy to see him pick up a win.
Well, and that's and for Cassius Ohno's credit, he's been since he's been back with NXT, he's had a long, great career between NXT and the Indies. I mean, he was Cesaro's old tag team way back in the day, Ring of Honor and whatnot. But I think since he's been back with NXT, his role is, I don't know how much of a push he's going to get in the future, but definitely he's a credible wrestler that he helps put other guys over. And so I think with Velveteen Dream, this was a good match, I think, to really keep Velveteen Dream's momentum going for the next few months. So we'll see how that plays out. But it was a solid second match in the night. I think he had the great his finish. He didn't jump from like you saw the turnbuckle.
Yeah, he jumped from the actual post.
Yeah, and I was like, whoa, that was kind of a little extra distance he had to cover. So
he does that.
It was great. It was really fun to watch. And then third match of the night was Ember Moon, the current women's champion, taking on Shayna Baszler, who's this one I enjoyed the build up to it as far as. Shayna, since she's been signed to NXT, just built like this badass MMA fighter who's like choking out everyone and just all her submission moves. So even though Ember Moon's a champion, she had her work cut out for her going into this.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, it's this one. The only thing I'll say about that is I was screaming at the TV because Ember got through the rope break during the armbar spot.
Uh-huh.
And then Baszler like pulled her off of the ropes and put her in, and I started yelling like at the TV. I was like, dude, ref, you gotta break that hold. That's an illegal hold. She had the ropes. I was like, dude, enforce the rules. Take some control of the match.
Yeah.
But Ember still won. She's selling the arm injury now that because of that. And then she got jumped after the match by Baszler and stuff like that. That was a good women's match. I like Ember Moon. She needs to come a little bit further in her promo work, but her in-ring athleticism is off the charts. So
her finisher is
The Eclipse is dope.
Yeah, it's very cool. But I was gonna say also just great her selling just the arm injury, and then also for Baszler just setting her up as still a monster to work with.
Yeah, she was definitely protected in defeat.
Yeah, I mean it definitely showed her inexperience as far as Moon was able to roll her up and just kind of capitalize on her inexperience in the ring.
Yeah, I liked that.
So that was really cool. And then, jump ahead, fourth match of the night, which this one, so just a little FYI behind the scenes here, we do a pool, a bunch of coworkers all pick matches, who we think is going to win all the matches for the weekend. This one, for me, was probably one of the hardest ones to pick on, Aleister Black versus Adam Cole, baby! Just because going into this, either one of them have strong reasons why they should win.
Yeah. Going into this, I mean, I like you, I'm a huge Adam Cole fan. Mm-hmm. So I picked with my heart here and I took Adam Cole.
Yeah.
Even though from a narrative aspect, it did make more sense for Aleister Black to pick up the victory because then he could go on to challenge who I thought would win the title match, which is Andrade Cien Almas as being the babyface taking on Almas. I do think he's going to take the NXT title off of Cien.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I went with Adam Cole because I wanted Adam Cole to win. I think Adam Cole is fantastic. I think Aleister Black is good, too. Aleister Black won me over. He always had a great entrance and stuff like that. I wasn't sold on him at the start, but he has won me over. He's very talented. I mean, he's like he's 107.7 The Bone's wet dream in terms of a male superstar. He's made for the airways for you guys.
Well, quick side note, SummerSlam, when he came out, he had Code Orange do the theme song.
Who we know.
Which we interviewed at Mayhem a couple years
ago. Third Eye Blind fans.
But we geeked out with wrestling.
That one blew up in your face. And you tried to crap on me for saying that I like Third Eye Blind. And they're like, yeah, Third Eye Blind's really talented. Suck it, baby Huey. Suck it.
So I was just going to say, but that match, going into it, it was labeled as an Extreme Rules match.
Well, they're in Philly. They had
Which is it? Why does this call it hardcore?
And by the way, we have to touch on the fact that they had Paul Heyman doing the narration for NXT,
the
opening of NXT TakeOver, which was great.
Yeah.
Nice touch. Well done.
Had an ECW feel to it.
Yeah.
Well, so why do they call it Extreme Rules and not just hardcore match?
That's what they haven't. I don't think they've had anything labeled a hardcore match in a long time.
Okay. I hear you. But it's just Extreme Rules match. So, yeah, it definitely played into the Philly / ECW crowd that's known for that area. So
to me was the second best match of the night.
Really? Well, for this one, I was really surprised. They probably use all the stereotypical, weapons, foreign objects you can use in it. Extreme Rules match. It didn't get too crazy.
I mean, the spot to me of this match, one, Adam Cole legit busted open his hand during the match, which led to some interesting sort of dynamics within it. But when Black went for the springboard moonsault and Cole hit him with the kendo stick.
Yeah.
Or the Singapore cane for all of you true believers out there in Philly, in ECW land.
Santa Man.
That was really awesome. And I thought it had a really, really great back and forth.
The spot towards Yin where Aleister Black threw Adam Cole on the chair.
Oh, yeah, that looked incredibly painful.
Oh, my God. Like, there's no way you could, like, sell that.
But I got to say, Lucha Underground did it first. Lucha Underground probably did it better. Seen it. seen it before.
More people saw that one than
anything. Yeah, so what? So what? You want to hate? Hate. No, go ahead, bro.
I'm not going to hate. But that was a great match. And yeah, so going into it, I picked Aleister Black to win just because I know he recently had a loss. And so,
yeah, shocked you picked against one of your boys.
I know, I love Adam Cole.
I thought you'd be there with me, but you made the right call. You made the right call narratively, and that's where I got into trouble in our betting. Is I picked with my heart a lot, even though, there are certain narrative things that you, as a wrestling fan, you can. There are certain beats, you know, they want to hit.
So definitely, it was a fun match in the night. Aleister Black goes over. When I think it's going to happen is now take over New Orleans. I assume that he's probably going to win the title there.
Yeah.
And he'll probably hold it all the way through SummerSlam, and then he'll probably drop it at SummerSlam, and then probably get called up after that.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
The next 6-7 months for him.
We got to get to the main event, though, and then get to the main
card. I know.
We're short on time. Main event with Andrade Cien Almas taking on Johnny Wrestling. First of all, the intro for Cien Almas.
Yeah.
Praise to you, Cien. That was a tremendous intro. I love the masked mariachi band, him coming out with his luchador mask on, because he did wrestle as a masked wrestler in Mexico. I thought that was a very nice nod. And Cien is really, really hitting his stride with NXT when he was kind of left for dead. I mean, he had that sort of like odd Chippendales-esque gimmick, and then like, you know, they're really selling on commentary how he was just partying all the time and not taking anything seriously. And he has had this great rebirth in NXT. And, I mean, what can you say about Johnny Gargano? He's one of the most talented performers they have.
Yeah.
And they tore the roof off the place. Yeah. What a fantastic match. I bet on CN because, I thought he would keep it and drop it to Aleister Black. And also, I figured, unfinished business with Tommaso Ciampa. It wasn't Gargano's time. That being said, I was biting on all the near falls. It was just tremendous theater.
It was tough because I thought Gargano, he was losing a lot lately leading up to this. So I thought, well, maybe finally underdog wins the title at this event. But then again, I was like, I think they want to keep him losing a little bit longer just for a bigger payoff down the road. Yeah. And so I think he's going to get into a program now with his former tag team partner who attacked him at the end with the crutch, but the match itself was just amazing. Just all around, all the big spots. Johnny's wife was out there.
Yeah, Candice LeRae.
She got involved as well, and just it was that match. That's like why we love wrestling. Just all the big spots. The guys just leaving it all out in the ring. A lot of big moments in that match. And a lot of people are saying early contender already, match of the year.
Absolutely.
So I totally see that. So overall,
That was a 5-star quality match. That was totally. Really, really just, that was a masterpiece.
So should we just real quick, how should we rate the actual NXT TakeOver? Do you want to do like a rating system, a number system, grain?
I don't really have a rating system. It entertained me from start to finish.
Okay.
I loved it. It was a great tone setter and a tough act to follow for the Royal Rumble match itself.
Okay.
I guess we should get to Sunday.
Yeah, totally. So jump at Sunday, big day, Royal Rumble 2018 in Philadelphia. It's, as we said, it definitely launches the road to WrestleMania, which is something we'll be talking a lot about for the next coming weeks, months. We have definitely plans to get to New Orleans this year. So it's an exciting moment because the Royal Rumble now at this point, there's just so much surprises, anticipation on what's going to happen. And it was like what, 6 hours of over 6 hours of content. And so definitely got your money's worth out there. So pre-show, we just quickly run down it. As far as it was like the cruiserweight guys coming out, not a lot of people in attendance yet, still making their way in. So it was Kalisto and his team taking on TJP and his guys. And the faces went over. I picked the heels.
I did too.
I just thought, I
like TJP, so I picked TJP.
Yeah, and so
Not really invested in that.
Yeah, babyfaces won for that one. Next match was the Revival taking on Gallows and Anderson. I picked the Revival just because as a makeup for them getting kind of squashed on
classic Raw 50-50 booking.
Yes. And now looking back on it, I should have picked the faces for the Cruiserweights because you would not let two heels win out of the pre-show. Should have been one baby face in one match and heels in the other match. So, but that was still a great match. Just as far as the Revival, I think Revival's going to get a big push. They had that big promo be two weeks ago now. So I think they're in for some big things now that they're, knock on wood, healed. Yeah, healthy. And then, yeah, Bobby Roode came out, the recently crowned U.S. champion versus a mystery opponent. And so I think a lot of people were speculating who could it be. EC3, Bobby Lashley, maybe some other surprises. But turned out to be Mojo Rawley.
Yeah.
So he put on a solid match. But then I was thinking about, you know what, you're not going to waste a big return on a pre-show.
Yeah.
And for them to lose. Because you know Bobby Roode's going to retain the belt.
I don't like the pre-show just for that reason.
Yeah.
I think just put it all on the main thing. Just make it longer. I don't believe in a pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I know that's how it's been done in the network era.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer not having a pre-show, though. But we kicked off the main festivities with WWE Championship match.
Which I was super shocked. My brother and I, Tommy, were watching and were like, oh, my God. They really starting with the championship, the WWE championship, AJ Styles handicap
match.
We
were there live in Sacramento when they did that, though.
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
I was not surprised by it. I thought that, so it was AJ Styles versus Cammy, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
I thought they delivered a really, for such an interesting concept, a handicap match for the WWE championship. I thought they worked a really great match. I thought they played up the stipulation really well without overdoing it.
Yes.
Which was great. And I thought the finish was well done in the sense that it made me question whether or not that was supposed to happen.
Oh, okay.
Like, did they really miss the tag and stuff like that? Or are they calling an audible on the fly kind of deal? You know, was that what they intended? And obviously it was. But the fact that it makes you stop and think means that in pro wrestling, you've done what you came to do, and it furthers the whole, like, conspiracy, I'm getting screwed thing.
So two things from that. One was I did enjoy that Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan didn't get involved in this, so it's like, let these guys have their
match.
Yeah,
it wasn't overbooked.
Yes. And then two, at first I thought, oh, okay, I thought this was just going to be the blow-off match in this feud. Now it looks like, obviously, it's going to keep going for a little bit longer, which I don't know. I mean, I guess they got to fill up some time before, well, now we know what AJ's plans are for WrestleMania, but this is probably the immediate plan for AJ Styles for probably a few more weeks before we will get into what his next step challenge is. But yeah, it was still just an awesome match. I mean, AJ Styles, he always delivers. I mean, come on, he's the man.
I mean, three great performers in one match.
Yes. I mean, Ric Flair on the pre-show said
he's this generation's Shawn Michaels, which is high praise.
Yes.
Very, very high praise.
And then the next match of the night, which is, I'm just trying to look.
It's the Usos.
Yes.
Taking on Gable and Benjamin for the SmackDown Live Tag Team Championships. And this match really interested me. I thought
it was going to be match of the night, potentially.
And I still really enjoyed it.
But, well, it was a clean sweep. It was 2 out of 3 falls.
Yeah, 2 out of 3 falls tag team match. And this is another one of those things. The first fall took so long to get, you know, I mean, they were kicking out of everything, which was really intense. I literally was sitting there watching it, and I was like, did they forget this is a 2 out of 3 falls match? Like, they were sort of working it like it was one fall to a finish. And I was like, dude, they're going to run out of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that they finally, like, I mean, the near falls for to score that first fall, I thought the psychology of that was great.
Mm-hmm.
I like that it was a clean sweep.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's ever happened before.
I know,
before.
It's pretty rare.
Anytime you have a two out of three falls match, it always goes the distance. So from from a psychology aspect, I appreciate the fact that it was a clean sweep because you never see it. It was, I would have done the finish for the second fall a little bit better.
Okay.
Like, it felt very quick. Like, it felt like one of those things, like maybe they were told to go home or something like that. But I like the clean sweep.
Well, I thought also maybe because of time constraints, or like we need to wrap this up. I picked Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin to win just because I thought, one, like, real talk, okay, one of the Usos got busted for DUI a couple weeks ago. So I thought maybe as punishment to take the belts off them. And also just to give Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin something to do, like, progress their tag team career, so as a team together, give them something different. But as you and I were texting last night, I mean, the Usos are probably the most over tag team in all WWE right now. And you told me last night they reinvented themselves.
Yeah, they're reinventing themselves after sort of, in my opinion, getting stale as babyfaces and Raw and everything like that. It's been a revelation. Mm-hmm. And they're on another level right now. I think the Usos and the Bar, just overall, I think it's a great time for tag team wrestling in WWE right now. They're consistently putting on some of the best matches of the night. And I'm really excited about it. I like tag team wrestling.
Yeah.
So it's been fun.
Who would have thought back in the day when was it Mick Foley who had
Sheamus, his lasting legacy.
Sheamus and Cesaro going at it, best of seven, and then it turned into them forming a tag team, which now they're one of the top tag teams.
Yeah,
now.
They're tremendous.
So shout out to you, Mick Foley, for doing that. And then that next was the men's Royal Rumble match.
That surprised me.
Well, okay. Yeah, I was shocked that it was so early in the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, no. My gut reaction is like, Roman's going to win. They don't want him to finish the pay-per-view because if he wins, the crowd's going to tear him apart and boo.
See,
I thought, okay, they're going to have him win early in the night and then have the wrestling matches distract the crowd and change the vibe after.
My gut reaction was when they're having the men go on first was that meant Ronda was in the house.
Okay.
Because I was like, they want the closeout of the Royal Rumble to be hitting ESPN. Spoiler alert, that's exactly what happened. Front page of ESPN is WWE and Ronda Rousey. So that's what I thought. I was like, Ronda's in the hizzy.
Okay.
So, the men's Royal Rumble match, it was, I would not have put it there.
Yeah.
Given it's the Royal Rumble and everything like that. I would have put it even one match later on the card. But I thought one of the better Royal Rumbles in recent years, it was really well thought out. The psychology of the match was done well.
A lot of fun moments.
Yeah.
Highlights.
I would have preferred more legends to have come back. And
yeah.
They really strayed away from that in recent years.
There wasn't as many surprises, like entries.
There was one really fantastic one.
Yeah. But. So, I mean, should we kind of run down? We don't need to go everyone.
Well, we're running short on time.
I know.
So.
Well, it's just great. Rusev, number one. The crowd just popped so hard for him.
Yeah, Rusev is awesome.
Imagine if he would have won the whole thing.
Oh, it would have been great.
The crowd would have, like, rioted in a good way.
Yeah.
Finn Balor, number two, in his new burgundy attire.
Yeah, kind of underwhelming attire, but Finn playing the role of the Rumble Iron Man in this one. One of the bits I liked was Heath Slater not being able to get into the ring. Like, my favorite part of that is when Elias was coming down playing his guitar, and he just stopped playing for a second, kicked Heath Slater, and then continued on.
So everyone was kept taking turns hitting him, so he never got in. And when Baron Corbin got eliminated very early, he took everyone out, so that's what... Everyone was laid out, either eliminator or laying out. That's when Elias came in and had time to do his song.
Yeah.
And then finally, when Andrade, mispronounce it, when Almas came out, the crowd went nuts because I think no one expected the NXT champion
to be
there.
Yeah, for sure.
And so he showed up, and then, I mean, the rest of the New Day, I'm blanking.
Ty Dillinger.
He
got number 10 again, but he got jumped in the back, and Sami Zayn took his spot, which was great. I liked the New Day eliminations, but Xavier saving Kofi and then them using the pancakes and then him pogoing back into the ring. That was great.
And then throwing Jinder out.
When they eliminate Jinder and they just start throwing the pancakes at him. That was hilarious. As far as surprise entrance, we had the Hurricane in this one.
Yes.
Which was... I did not expect the Hurricane to be in it.
Yeah.
It had a short-lived stay, but it was nice to see him.
I mean, to his credit, I mean, I'm sure it was a good payday, so he flew all the way up just for that quick little appearance in and out.
Yeah, it was cool. I would have liked to see more stuff like that.
Let me ask you this. I just saw this online. Someone's predicting maybe he's the new 205 Live GM. But he's not really been a cruiserweight, right? Known for that?
He was a tremendous cruiserweight champion.
Yeah, okay, I guess you could put him on the show then.
Yeah.
You're right.
I'm totally into them. I'm sorry. Is there an edit button on Facebook Live? Good Lord. I have not seen that rumor,
just predicting.
I would be fine with that. I like Gregory Helms quite a lot.
Yeah.
So
he defended wrestling against that porn star.
Yeah, I mean, that was all big work.
It was a big work just for that event in Texas?
Pretty sure. She's done a couple events now.
Okay. I mean, I've seen that she's doing those appearances, but I wasn't sure if that was all.
Pretty sure it's just a big work. But
Shinsuke came in at number 14. That was, I mean, just the crowd popped for him because on the betting odds.
Adam Cole was in it, which was another surprise. But to me, the best pop of the men's Royal Rumble was, entrant number 27, was it Rey Mysterio?
Yeah.
And Rey looked fantastic. He's in tremendous shape.
I saw him turn back the clock 2.5 months ago at the Cow Palace for APW, and he was wearing like his baggy outfit where he's been wearing for the last few years.
Yeah,
he had his shirt on and the baggy pants. Dude, he had the old school outfit as far as the pants and, you know, no shirt on. Like, dude, he was ripped.
Yeah, like, he looked great.
So, and he was, the spots he was delivering was really great. The Adam Cole elimination, though, was a little suspect. Adam Cole literally just jumped out.
I thought it was fine.
No, so
I thought it was fine. I think you run into that in the Royal Rumble. I had no issues with that. My moment of the men's Royal Rumble was it when it was the final six.
Yes.
This is what stood out to me, because they had this fantastic moment where on one side of the ring, you had John Cena, Randy Orton, and Rey Mysterio, mm-hmm. sort of like the old guard. And then on the other side of the ring, you had Roman, Finn, and Shinsuke. And regardless of how you feel about all those guys, it was just a cool sort of, I don't want to call the torch passing moment, because a lot of the, like, Cena and Randy are still very much so a big part of the show. But it was this sort of cool clash of generations.
Western,
I really liked that.
Old school Western showdown a little bit. But so they start going at it, all of them taking turns on one another. So it was just a lot of fun scene. Just old school versus new school in many ways. And then it got narrowed down to the final four, which was Cena, Roman, Finn, and Shinsuke, which at that point I was like, oh my God, this is looking really good. Like, Finn got first eliminated. It's like, oh no, like, it's going to be, well, honestly, it was like when it was Finn and Shinsuke versus Roman and Cena, it was like Vince's guys versus Triple H's guys in a way, that final four. And I was like, who's going to win here? Finn was first to get out, and then eventually Cena, and it was Roman and Shinsuke. I'm like, oh no, Roman's gonna
win. I never once bought that Roman was gonna
win. I was sitting there biting.
Not once.
But sure enough, Shinsuke eliminated Roman. The crowd went crazy.
This is what I believe we discussed maybe on a podcast too, is that Shinsuke wins the Rumble, is gonna take on AJ Styles, because that's like the smart match that people wanna see. And Roman's going to win the Elimination Chamber and challenge Brock Lesnar.
Absolutely. So, Renee Young came in and asked him who he challenges, and he says, AJ Styles. And so that was very cool. Just he made a decision. The crowd went crazy for it. And then after that, by that moment, the crowd had the cool off for a minute. So we had the tag match between Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan versus The Bar, which, as you and I both predicted, The Bar going over.
Bar winning. Jason Jordan sort of pulling a Rick Martel from Strikeforce. Rumor is that he actually is hurt, and that's why he couldn't do any of the bumps and stuff like that. They feigned like the head injury.
Okay. I know you have like a back injury.
Yeah.
So they're potentially not going to split, and the rumor is maybe they're going to go at each other in WrestleMania, which could be interesting. And then let's see. What's next? Emma? Oh, Universal title match. Brock. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Brock went over. Kane taking the pin, Braun still looking strong at the end of the day.
Yeah, I was hoping against all hope that Braun would win because Braun should win, but they want Brock versus Roman.
Yeah.
It's what they've wanted for
a year.
Forever. So I was not surprised in the least. I actually thought it was a decent match for what it was given. I would have had liked to have seen. I just want to protect Braun. That's just the main thing.
One thing that stood out to me was you saw Braun accidentally knee Brock.
Brock laid in a punch and stuff. If that's legit, then Brock needs, like, pot kettle. Because Brock works very snug and is hurt more than his share of guys.
Yeah,
so give me a break.
It's like, dude, come on. I mean, Braun, his face was kind of like, uh-oh. Like, what happens? Who do you think would win in a legit fight?
Oh, Brock. He's trained.
But Braun's stronger.
Yeah, the character of Braun Strowman would destroy Brock Lesnar, but Brock is a legitimate badass.
Kane wasn't really involved too much in this match, which rightfully so.
Kane's a legend. He was there to take the pin.
Yeah, so all good. And then last match of the night was the first ever Women's Royal Rumble match, which, by the way, listen to our interview with Lana and Natalya both up at 1077thebone.com. We talked to both of them about this match going into it, what it meant to them. But yeah, first ever Stephanie McMahon on commentary.
Yeah. Which,
interesting.
I did not think Stephanie acquitted herself too greatly. I was happy to see her. I actually thought it meant that she was going to be in the match.
Pull out Michael Cole.
Yeah, I thought she was going to get into the match. But for being the first one of its kind and everything like that, all the pressure and everything, I thought the ladies did a phenomenal job. I thought, honestly, I think I might have enjoyed it more than the men's Rumble, because it was that old school feeling Royal Rumble, even though this is the first one ever. They brought back so many of the old legendary ladies. I mean, Michelle McCool, you had Beth Phoenix,
Tori Wilson,
Kelly, Molly Holly, who Molly had gone on the record and said that she wasn't going to be in it. And then she pulls off a Molly go round, Lita doing a moonsault. And number 30, Trish Stratus, looking as stratified as ever.
That outfit, whoo.
And she looked great. I wanted her to win. I was like, dude, how great would see Trish versus Alexa Bliss or Trish versus Charlotte at WrestleMania? I was buying in. Her moment with Sasha Banks was great. I thought the ladies did such a terrific job. I was so stoked. And just the emotional investment. I also thought it benefited from the fact that it's the first one. It was less predictable.
Yeah.
Even though, let me say this. It was less predictable with a predictable winner.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, going into on all the ads, Asuka was dead center in the advertising.
Yeah, and, no one's ready for Asuka and all that stuff.
I will say this. So I was a little disappointed. I thought maybe a little more of the NXT talent were going to be brought up for. Because if you combine both women's rosters on Raw and SmackDown, there was definitely a lot of open slots still to fill for the overall 30. So, but they used that more for just previous
division. Yeah, I thought they did it perfectly.
Yeah.
Because those, listen, you know, NXT girls, you're going to have your time. But those ladies that came before that don't work a full schedule, this might be the last time that they're in shape or able to do, you know, a match like
they
that.
They paved the way for
exactly.
this to happen.
So they deserve those spots, in my opinion.
Gotcha. And so, Final Four was very surprising as far as Asuka, Nikki, and Brie Bella, and Sasha, which I was super surprised. I mean, as far as give Sasha credit, she was the Finn Balor of that match, if you want to call it that. It was Iron Woman. She came in, what was it, number two?
She was one.
That's right, one. Lasted all the way through, so... Love her Wonder Woman outfit, by the way.
Yeah, it was
so
great.
So they eliminate Sasha first. The Bellas jumped her, and then Nikki eliminated her own sister.
Saw that coming.
I know.
Saw that coming. I was hoping that they
total
would pull
Bella season three right there.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. I would have preferred Ronda being in the match and just winning the match. What I would have hoped if I were to book it, I'm a little tired of the undefeated streak deal.
Yeah.
So I would have booked it where Asuka eliminates Nia. Nia's pissed, comes back into the ring, tosses Asuka out illegally, but still it's like a tainted L. Mm-hmm. So sort of creatively.
Asterix.
We're able to get through this sort of, she's never been pinned still, and lead to a match with Nia at WrestleMania.
Okay. Yeah.
But Asuka won the match before she could pick. Ronda Rousey comes out.
Yeah.
Wearing Roddy Piper's jacket, which was really nice touch, mm-hmm. I felt. And
coming out to Joan Jett's Bad Reputation.
Yes.
I wonder how much they pay for that to get that as her theme song.
Yeah.
But she comes out and does the point.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we talked to Charlotte about this. We should probably share that again. That if she would want to be Ronda's first opponent in the eventuality that she joined WWE. And I think I personally think that that's exactly what WWE wants.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably what
I was kind of reading online earlier. So it looks like Dave Meltzer's reporting. It looks like it's going to be Triple H and Stephanie versus Ronda and a partner at WrestleMania.
I've heard that.
It could change.
I've heard that. I still think it's going to be Ronda and Charlotte.
Okay, we'll see what happens. I mean, we got 2 months now. The Road to WrestleMania to take place and decide all that. It's a lot of fun. This is one of the best Royal Rumbles in a long time because the last few years, the previous Royal Rumble winners were guys who maybe the universe did not want to see win. This one, they definitely took care of the audience.
Yeah, so, and just great, great job. A great moment with Ronda coming out at the end. Great moment for Asuka and Shinsuke.
Team Japan won last night. I think that's a little dig at New Japan a little bit, just to kind of capitalize on their popularity.
Asuka's been around for a while and has had just a tremendous run of success and stuff like that. I think it was a bigger. It was just a huge moment for both of them, obviously. But it was it was more of a rehabilitation for how Shinsuke has been treated on the main roster than anything else. But it was phenomenal, phenomenal weekend.
Like AJ Styles.
Yes, amazing Royal Rumble.
A lot of fun, so can't wait to watch it. So thank you guys for tuning in to our review of the Royal Rumble 2018. We're going to plan on doing some more of this wrestling-related stuff. So Jimbo, thank you for making the time. And for the rest of you, check everything else, 1077thebone.com. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.